is from Luke. And those of you that know the lectionary and its patterns will realize that this is normally read in the Sunday after Christmas, every third year. But of course, we're not following the lectionaries, and it's an excellent story about a family. So here we are. You'll recognize it, I think. From Luke 2, chapters, verses 41 to 52. Now every year, his parents, Jesus' parents, went to Jerusalem for the festival, Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents didn't know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." And he said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they didn't understand what he said to them. And then he went down with them to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. May God bless to our understanding this reading from Holy Scripture. When we follow the lectionary, this is read right after Christmas, the family time that defines family time, I think. However, even at the Christmas season, there are some situations when families do not always shine in the best light. And I'm sure everybody sitting here can think of one Christmas that family was not shown in the very best light. There can be experiences of huge loneliness and depression. Times when old family tensions rise to the forefront as arguments ensue. For instance, in my family, the argument is about whose dressing recipe should be used to stuff the turkey. And of course, as John and I have experienced many times, disappointments when there's no sign of the expected family arriving. And we've experienced that because, of course, as a minister, we have been placed to lead congregations well outside of our family range zone. So, and even, you know, it's the argument, right? When kids are small, the expectation is that the parents, grandparents will visit them because it's much easier for two adults to pick up than for people with young children to travel somewhere for Christmas. So we went through a period when we were pretty lonely. But that's behind us now. We're here in Calgary where our family's living. Jesus' family was following their faith tradition in our story today. Every year, apparently, they traveled up to Jerusalem for the Passover observance. And their family's traditions received a huge shake-up this year, as Jesus, at this traditional age of 12, set off to separate himself from his blood family. By the way, in case you're wondering, 12 years old is the seminal year for traditional coming-of-age stories. You can read about them, about the Buddha in India, about Osiris in Egypt, and Cyrus the Great in Persian and Augustus in Rome. So there's a whole wide variety. And quite often people will say, oh yeah, Jesus was 12 and he was just following in the traditions that had been set in the great religions before him. Well, to some extent, they're not wrong. So you have to think of that when you're reading it. But we do have this one story of Jesus at that age in our Gospels. And there's more stories of the growing up Jesus in a gospel that we don't have readily available. It's called in the Apocrypha, which some of you may have looked at from time to time. And it's called the Infancy Gospel of Thomas. Now, if you want to find more about what the author of that book might have imagined Jesus experienced in those years in his life, you can look up the Infancy Gospel of Thomas. I'm pretty sure there's one in the library back there. So why would the writer of the Gospel of Luke put this story in? What does it tell us about Jesus at this stage of his life? Now, I need to explain that when my son was about 3 years old, I hadn't taken him grocery shopping. Right? He was always left with John or a neighbor or somebody, because I knew better than to take a three-year-old grocery shopping. But I had to that day, and when he was about three, I'll take this on myself, I lost sight of him in the grocery store. And of course I panicked, right? So, as any mother would. And he was found by the intercom system. Some sweet little old lady found him where the candies were and brought him up to the office. And he was found safe, and he was very mad because I had lost track of him just a few moments before. Now, I can't imagine what Mary and Joseph must have felt when they realized that Jesus was missing from the group on the way home from Jerusalem. And so they began that dangerous journey. It was dangerous to travel in those days, that dangerous journey back to Jerusalem. So now we get to the author's point. Jesus was found in his father's house, the temple. Up to now, don't forget, his father's house would have been the house in Nazareth. So right away we have a major shift, right? His father's house in the temple. This is the point, actually, in the whole of the Gospels, when Jesus begins acquiring public honor. As not only did he ask good questions, but he exhibited amazing understanding of the questions put to him. For instance, when Mary asked why he treated his parents disrespectfully by not returning with them, right, that's quite a talking to for the Gospels, Jesus asserts his autonomy by responding to a hostile question with a question. It would certainly set me back on my heels. He says to Mary, well, why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house? I'm not sure what my response would be if my 12-year-old son had said something like that to me. It's a very big challenge to what parents think of as their prerogatives as far as children are concerned. Anyway, Jesus is now asserting that his father's house is the temple in Jerusalem and not the house in Nazareth. So we get it that Jesus, like many 12-year-olds, that's a good age for even them, has found himself in his father's house, the temple in Jerusalem. Now the writer of Luke brings the story to an honorable conclusion. Jesus behaves like a good son from then on in the scenario, respecting his parents' control, and returns home. At the same time, this little vignette advances his public reputation, status, and his level of maturity. However, this passage was used many times for many decades as a journal for how to treat 12-year-olds or illustrate the proper behavior for children. But the author of Luke isn't writing a how-to book for parenting, and it's not a morality tale to illustrate proper behavior. So what are we to glean? Well, Barbara Brown Taylor, who you will hear me spouting from often, posits three possibilities, and I find these all to be credible. Firstly, the writer of Luke wants to develop the importance of the temple in Jesus' life. Up to the time we have this little story, we really have no understanding of what kind of Jewish Hebrew faith they were exhibiting in his household at that time. But we can see from this vignette that they were faithful Jewish Hebrew presenters. Firstly, the writer of Luke wants to develop the importance of the temple in Jesus' life. The temple is important because it is the place where others see something in Jesus that some do not. In our stories of Jesus, this is the first time when others see something in Jesus that some do not. They see that it is really his home and his Father's home where Jesus finds his purpose and the people who can spot the purpose in him. So secondly, Barbara Brown Taylor says, this gospel reading establishes the boundaries of Jesus' family. Jesus and his parents, first of all, aren't traveling together. They're not a nuclear family, right? Jesus isn't a little infant who's tagging along with his parents. He's off somewhere with the rest of the crowd. That's why they didn't miss him for 3 days, no, for a day. So the boundaries of family are extended. The boundaries of family are extended as Jesus is relating to that extended circle made up of all those who teach the Torah. So all of a sudden, it's not just his parents that he's listening to. He's listening to all those in the temple who are teaching the Torah. I mean, there's huge, right? How do you respond when your child comes home and he's obviously been listening to something that may or may not be exactly what you're thinking? Do you respect the child's autonomy? Do you disregard it altogether and say, no, you can't believe that? Or how do you deal with that? Well, Mary and Joseph, like a family, any family, would have had that same questioning of how they were going to handle this. So later in Luke, we know, because we know the story of Luke, all familiar relationships Jesus might have had are banished. Jesus says later in Luke, actually in chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus declares, this is the hard one for all of us to understand, whoever comes to me who does not hate father and mother cannot be my disciple. And it's always worth like 3 or 4 sermons to try and work our way through that one. It's a hard one. You know, we have this idea of what families are, and all of a sudden Jesus is saying, whoever comes to me who does not hate father and mother cannot be my disciple. So this reading establishes the boundaries of Jesus' family, and later on in Luke we see that there are not even the boundaries we might imagine. And thirdly, this reading is used to establish Jesus' authority as a teacher of God's word. He remains firmly rooted in the Hebrew faith. And later in this gospel, chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, you find Jesus preaching his very first sermon. These beautiful words. They start, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. the first sermon preached by Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. Establishes him as a teacher of God's word. Now, that's not all there is. Of course, it's not all there is in this story. It doesn't really say much positiveness in the ways of family. But for us hearing this story here today, the critical understanding from this glimpse of life as the Holy Family is that every kind of family, all those ones we talked about at the beginning, can be and is touched by God. The model that is offered is not the one usually glimpsed in romantic paintings and portraits, perfectly ordered and without divisions or differences. The glimpse we have of Jesus Christ's family in this gospel is not the ones that sit around our supper tables and gather, you know, on the odd Christmas when everybody can fit it in and they're not visiting the in-laws or outlaws and the children are well behaved. They're going to sit at the table and eat a meal instead of playing with their toys. That's not what they're talking about in this little vignette, right? Jesus said, "Why are you looking for me? Can't you just hear him? Why are you looking for me? You had to know where I was. It's your fault, Mom." Anyway, that's not what we're offered here. This glimpse into the life of Jesus' family that we have in front of us today is of a family that lives into messy moments, confident that God, through the incarnation of Jesus Christ, wades with us into our messiness and redeems all of us and all of our families from within. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God.